Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to CLNS Radio, your source for all things basketball.
You cannot stop this guy. This guy is unbelievable right now, and with the way he's playing, he's played an outstanding brand of basketball. You're trying to tell me he's not the next best thing? What are you hearing?
Man, all I know is this guy can ball, and if you can come out and play with him, you can play with anybody in the league.
I want your opinion. Call into the show.
Why don't you drive the rack? Seriously, why don't people drive the rack more often?
You're fed up with this cookie-cutter brand of basketball. Now go out and hand-check.
What are you comparing? The guy's got grit. The guy's got moxie, and the guy's got heart. What more do you want?
Ambition. He did a dream that was harder to live.
Broadcast through Blog Talk Radio and CLNS Radio.
They gonna love me for my ambition.
Welcome to the Hooper's Log.
He did a dream that was harder to live.
Here's your host, Simo Buck.
They gonna love me for my ambition.
Welcome on into episode 123 of the Hooper's Log. I am your host, Simo Buckets. Yes, Simo Buckets here, episode 123, here on a Thursday, on April 21st, 2016. Yes, it is episode 123 here in the Hooper's Log. It is that time of day. I mean, I'm sitting out here in my car, boiling, getting ready to go outside and enjoy some hot weather. It has been absolutely beautiful out here in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, it has been absolutely perfect outside. Again, last night in the NBA, a lot of duds again when it comes to the playoff basketball. It's gotten historically bad now. I mean, outside of the couple of weekend games that we've had, some of these first-round games, if not all these first-round games this entire week, have just been absolute train wrecks. From the standpoint of entertainment, from the standpoint of, you know, us NBA experts knowing what really is going on, this is not a shock. We all know the second round, especially in the Western Conference, is going to be an instant classic. But for right now, it's all kind of just doing what we expected. But it is also very, very not encouraging or tough to watch when you see teams getting their butts blown out in the fourth quarter. And, you know, Cleveland last night and, you know, also the Clippers last night doing the same thing. It was tough to watch last night. I mean, a lot of blowouts, a lot of tough things to follow, and a lot of tough things to watch from an entertainment perspective. It was brutal, and we're here to cover it for you live on the Hooper's Log here in the CLNS Radio Studios, the SeatGeek Studios. My name is Simo Buckets. The phone line number is 323-642-1558. And another example right now, Oklahoma City with about 4.5 minutes left in the half, up 51-36, bouncing back from that game two loss, game three tonight. Obviously all the game threes are getting kicked off tonight. And all the final game twos were on last night on hump day on April 20th, 4:20 of 2016. It's just tough. I mean, the Heat dominated, the Cavs dominated, and the Clippers dominated last night. And for the most part, it was just tough to watch. Some off the court news. We'll get to that too. Obviously, the passing of a icon when it comes to the landscape of music. Prince died today. He didn't really impact me. He is just a shade before my generation. He was still impactful, no matter how you look at it. He was Michael Jackson-esque when it came to his ability to put on a show and influence the music world. He was on the level, if not at the same level, of Michael Jackson. And from that, we pay our tributes to him. And considering he was from Minnesota and being a huge Vikings fan, I definitely knew about his presence in the Twin Cities as a Vikings fan. And what's fascinating now going forward, at least from the sports perspective, how will the Minnesota Vikings, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Minnesota Twins, how will they all react to the death of really a hometown hero? If there's ever been one, a guy like Prince really put an imprint on the city of Minnesota. And for that alone, we must pay our tributes to him. And as a Vikings fan, clearly I'm saddened by the news because he is a legend. He's a flat-out legend from the area of Minnesota, and for that we pay our tributes to him. And some other off the court stuff as well. you know, from the standpoint of just chatter and drama and BS and all that other mamba jamba. I don't see Andrew Norris on the show right now unless my thing is not updated. But outside of that, we're going to talk about the playoff games from last night. We're going to talk about some hirings in the NBA, some news to get to, and all those other great things that you love to hear on the Hoopers Log. Again, my name is Simo Buckets. If you'd like to call in, the phone number is 323-642-1558 is the number. We're getting it going. Kevin Hart, let's start it off now.
All right, all right, all right. You're going to learn today.
Last night in the NBA, just some flat-out dominating performances. The Miami Heat again winning 115-103, going up 2-0 in the series as they now head to Charlotte for the Game 3 of the series, which will be on, I believe, Friday night or Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. It will be on Saturday afternoon. Will be Saturday night, apologies, on TNT will be Game 3 between Miami and Charlotte in Charlotte. But this series looks like it's getting closer and closer to being really over. You know, again, it's only been two games. I know Charlotte can bounce back at home and do some things. But the way Miami played in Game 1, and especially the way they played in Game 2 last night, winning 115-103, going up 2-0 in the series. For entertainment-wise, this was not an entertaining ball game. I mean, once Miami went on that run in the near the end of the first half, you saw just complete domination by them. Kemba Walker came out and played a pretty good game, 29 points, 5 rebounds. He looks pretty good from that perspective. Al Jefferson, 25 points, 7 rebounds. He looks good too. But when you got Dwayne Wade, the lengthy Dwayne Wade, we just have some breaking news coming up here that Steph Curry will not be playing in Game 3. We all know that that's the case. We'll preview those games here in a moment. But Dwayne Wade, 28 points last night, 8 assists. And then Hassan Whiteside went off for 17 and 13. When you have games like that from your guys, and then Josh Richardson coming off the bench, 15 points, and obviously Luol Deng again, another great performance, 6 of 11 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, 16 points. When you have the others playing well and your superstar and Dwayne Wade playing the way they're supposed to play, you're going to see performances like that, and you're going to see wins like that from an overall team perspective. And so for that, the Miami Heat bounce back and, again, getting a second victory in the series, now up 2-0 moving forward. I see Andrew Norris on the line. Andrew, man, how you been doing? And how was your opinion? I was just going to get to the game between the Cleveland Cavs and the Detroit Pistons from last night. The Cavs win 107-90. Again, Detroit getting off to a really, really, really hot start. The difference was LeBron James put it to him last night, dominating, and the Cavs go up 2-0. Heading to Detroit. This series is still definitely not over from the way the Cavs have been playing. I mean, they have not gotten off to good starts. A lot like San Antonio, concerning from how they start ball games. Andre Drummond went off 20 points, 7 rebounds. Pope went off for 13 points, 8 rebounds. Fantastic performances by the starting rotation. It was more of the bench that struggled, but when LeBron James goes off for 27, 6, and 3, and 3 steals, and then Kevin Love went off for 16 points, and J.R. Smith really was the story. 7 of 11 from three-point range, 21 points for him, all of his points obviously from the three-point line, and Kyrie Irving shooting 22 points as well. That's going to be the difference. What was your take from this ball game last night, Andrew, and how you doing?
Oh, I'm feeling good. I just snuck out on time to be able to, you know, I was rushing. I might have blew up somebody's house by putting in the wrong part. I don't know. I was blind. I was red-faced. I was just going at it. And then, of course, they want to keep me around to talk a little bit, and I was having none of that. Now, the game in this particular case isn't the biggest story here. The big story is the comment
Stanley Johnson
made. Right. I liked the way they played in the first half, chiseled off the second half. Steve Blake's an absolute joke. You put any pressure on that guy, he's either going to dribble it off his foot or turn it over in some other form or fashion. But Stanley Johnson, okay. I love the fire. I love the fight. I love not backing down. However, let's look at the last guy who really the biggest, not the biggest, but one of the guys on the Pistons who has talked with LeBron in the past to see how it worked out. When Tobias Harris was on the Magic, there was a specific game where he talked to LeBron when they were about 10 points for 4 minutes. LeBron, from that point, went to have his team win in regulation, single-handedly just destroyed Tobias Harris and the Orlando Magic. From that game on, LeBron James dropped 30 points in almost every single game he played against the Magic. Oh, guess who else he's not a fan of on the Pistons? Marcus Morris. Oh, guess who else he's not a fan of on the Pistons? Stanley Johnson. The next two games for the Pistons could be complete LeBron domination. I mean, like, scary LeBron, like, get out of my way, you 19-year-old. Who the hell do you think you are talking to me? I'm the king type basketball. And like I said, I don't mind what Stanley Johnson said. However, I don't know how smart it was. I like what Stanley Johnson said. This team has needed a leader all year long, and of course, it might not be the best thing that a 19-year-old is the best leader on your team, but it's a sign of good things to come. Stanley Johnson is probably going to be a star in this league, by my guess. But you can't go and say you're in a guy's head when, by you, and made 13 of them, man. I mean, he's 13 for 15 for 28 points when guarded by Stanley Johnson. He's completely dominated. And this proves the media narrative point that I always try to make where, look at it. I mean, they're talking about Stanley Johnson is being up LeBron, and he's shooting 90% against him. It was cool to see. It's kind of like the comments he made right when he got drafted. He said, I'm the best player in this draft. It wasn't one of those before-the-draft strategies. It wasn't, well, if I work hard, I really think I can be good. It was, I'm the best player in this draft. I'm going to be a superstar. Oh, and by the way, Detroit versus everybody. That's the mentality Stanley Johnson has, and I love it. And I don't want him to lose it at all. But will it work out in a good way? Probably not. LeBron's probably going to teach him a lesson. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. And, hey, they're playing about as good as they can play in the first playoff series in 7 years against the LeBron-led team. So I'm not mad. I'm actually excited. This has me on the edge of my seat. And, you know, LeBron is my favorite player, as you all know. So when I do want to see him do well, even against, you know, if I could, I'd have him score 98 points and lose 99-98. That's a perfect world. But, you know, I'm actually excited to see how they're going to handle, you know, that next year LeBron. Because I know this is the playoffs, but he still does have a next year. We saw it in the finals last year. So it'll be interesting to see.
Well, and it's interesting because you said it yourself. I mean, nothing really – I don't think anything else really needs to motivate LeBron when it comes to the postseason. We've seen it the last couple of weeks of the regular season. We've seen it, you know, his fire and his competitiveness show up in this series between the Pistons. You know, really, like you said, Marcus Morris and Stanley Johnson getting under his skin. And people, it's funny, like you said, the media-driven narrative of LeBron, you know, people are in his head and people are in his – it's people, come on, like – people understand, we know where this Cavs team is going to go. We know that this team is better than every team in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Yeah, Detroit tests them. Yes, we've said that from the get-go, and they have for the most part, at least for most of the games. But we all know the Cavs are just head and shoulders above them. It's like when you watch Kansas play a small team. It's just not going to happen. No one's going to beat the Cavs in the Eastern Conference. It won't happen. It's not because of the narrative. It's not because it's the Cavs. It's just because this team is so good. I saw Channing Frye come off the bench last night, and I was sitting there and I was like, this is what's funny to me. Like, and I'm going to deviate a second, but what's funny to me is like you have this team, you know, people talking about how, you know, there's no chance the Spurs or Warriors would lose to the Cavs in the finals. What people don't understand is when you look at the playoffs, you don't what smart NBA basketball fans know about is when you look at the NBA playoffs, you don't look at the NBA playoffs from the standpoint of what happened during the regular season. You look at the NBA playoffs, yeah, you definitely take it into consideration, but you more or less look at the history of what happened last year in the playoffs than you would look at what happened in the regular season. These guys really don't – I mean, the regular season, only outside of maybe one or two games during the regular season, will you, or five, maybe five at the max, you'll get tested in a playoff-type mentality. The difference is it's the next game. It's going to be adjustments. It's going to be more intensity. It's going to be more philosophical chess playing in the playoffs. You don't ever experience that in the regular season. So when I hear people say that this Cavs team, you know, can't compete with the Spurs and can't compete with the Warriors, did you forget a year ago the Cavs were up 2-1 over the Warriors with Kyrie Irving, without Kevin Love, without Channing Frye, Timothy Mozgov had just joined the team within 2 or 3 months. This team has 2 years under their belt together. They are massively head over their shoulders better than they were last year. And are they being tested? Sure. But this is good. And like you even said, Andrew, you know, I mean, good for the Cavs. For the Pistons, like you said, kind of, you know, but it's good for them from the standpoint of they're young and they're only going to get better. Their ceiling for the future is only going to get, you know, they haven't even touched their ceiling yet, where the Cavs are right now at their ceiling. Maybe you could go higher, but they're there. But the point is the Cavs are on this track to get to the finals and win it all, and they can. And the scary thing is, I don't know if LeBron needs more motivation, but with Stanley Johnson's words and with Marcus Morris's words, all it does is just give some more kindling to the fire of what LeBron wants to do, which is bring a title to Cleveland, which, as we all know, the Browns and the whole Johnny Manziel thing is under their skin. The Tribe has been horrible for 50 years since the last time they won the World Series. You know, 60 years now since they last won. This city is dying for something, and if LeBron needs more motivation, give it to him. And the media is going to keep saying, oh, they're in LeBron's head. That just keeps giving him fire. I said something on Twitter about, you know, before I get back to the point, I said something on Twitter about a couple of days ago, 3-4 days ago, about LeBron haters. And I'll believe this till the day I die, is that people who hate on LeBron James as of this point, of him getting the 5 straight NBA finals, winning 4 MVPs, getting 2 NBA championships, and dominating the league like he has for the last 10+ years, I think people who hate LeBron are honestly people who actually like LeBron, and they're just stealing his motivation because he's so great that what else is there to talk about? It doesn't make any sense to hate on this guy and to give him any more, like you said, media manipulation. All that does is create LeBron James to give him more fuel to his fire. And what else do you need to do to give him more fuel? But back to the point, this Cavs team is up 2-0. They dominated last night. We saw more of what we to expect of the Cleveland Cavaliers in this game. And unfortunately, and I said this at the beginning of the show, Andrew, is that this Cleveland Cavalier team is, you know, this NBA playoffs, ever since that first game between Detroit and Cleveland, really has been a snooze fest. I mean, it has been bad. From an entertainment perspective, as knowledgeable NBA fans, we all know, we all saw this kind of coming. Not from the Eastern Conference perspective, it's definitely kind of a shocker from the Eastern Conference, but from the Western Conference perspective, we all saw this coming, where you saw the Clippers were going to dominate in most games. I think we all expected that series to maybe be a little closer, but it's not shocking that the Clippers are doing what they're doing, especially in Game 2 last night. They again won by 20 points, 102-81. I mean, what else was there to expect by the L.A. Clippers? Dominating again, and all of the rest of the Western Conference, you know, Memphis and San Antonio, Golden State and Houston. And it's funny, I keep getting these updates on my phone that Steph's not going to play for Game 3. We all knew that was going to happen. We knew the moment Steph Curry was going to inbound that pass in Game 1 and he started limping down the court, I had this instinct that Steph isn't even going to play the rest of the series. I just had a feeling. Like, the Golden State Warriors don't need him for this series against the Rockets. They're going to sweep them. It doesn't matter what happens tonight. They're going to beat them by 20, more than likely, with Draymond Green and Klay Thompson going for – Draymond Green's probably going to have a triple-double tonight, you know. So, and then obviously the other series between the Thunder and Dallas, you're seeing it right now, but the Dallas is down by 20. It's just – this is what we're expecting. We expected this in the Western Conference Finals, in the Western Conference playoffs in the first round, and it was no different last night. Clippers got the victory, winning Game 2, 102-81. C.J. McCollum played pretty good, 16 points. Again, not shooting very well from the field, but considering Mason Plumlee really was the standout performer on the Blazers last night, 17 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. He did all he could. But Damian Lillard shot horribly from the field, 6 of 22, 0 for 6 from 3. That's going to dictate your ball game more than not. And Chris Paul, 25 points, 5 assists, 6 rebounds, and DeAndre Jordan at 18 rebounds. You're seeing a team and the Clippers really find ways to win games really differently, really in a different way, because the Blake Griffin that we're seeing right now, definitely still rusty. 12 points on 4-12 shooting last night, 9 rebounds and 4 assists. Definitely odd there, but when you see a guy like Chris Paul, Man of the Year Jamal Crawford, come off the bench, you know, shoot a 3, go 4 of 10 from the field, get your buckets when you need them. This Clipper team is starting to win games in a fashion that is un-Clipper-like in a good way, from the perspective of they look for real. They look like a team that's ready, locked and loaded, whether they're, you know, I guess ready or not to play the Warriors. They're locked and loaded to give them at least a series and maybe push it to 6 or 7. And who knows, maybe even give themselves a chance at potentially pulling an upset don't think that the Clippers can't do it. Look what they did last year against the San Antonio Spurs team. Granted, they didn't have David West, LaMarcus Aldridge, and their young guys are a year older. But, you know, they still beat the Spurs when no one thought they could do it, and they did it in a seven-game series. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that this Clippers team could at least test the Warriors. Now, will they beat them? I think that's definitely a stretch. But for them to test them, definitely there. Andrew, what was your take from the postseason last night overall? And what's your take on the postseason so far, as it's really just been a snooze fest overall?
Just give me the second round, man. Just let me see.
Yeah.
Let me see Clippers Warriors. Let me see Thunder Spurs. Let me see, you know, Cavs Hawks for the second year in a row. I'm really, really excited. I think I'm more excited for Raptors Heat, which I think it will be, more than any other series, okay? But the thing is, I'm about 99% sure it's going to be Cavs Hawks. About 100% sure it's going to be Warriors Clippers. About 100% sure it's going to be Thunder and Spurs. Now, the only iffy team to advance to the next round right now is Toronto. And even them, they're like 80% in my mind going to advance. So just give me to the second round, man. I want to see the superstars. You know, you have your teams, and then you have your great teams, and then the third round you're looking at your title contenders, and then the final. You know, so you're weeding out the, because basketball has 16 out of 30 teams that make playoffs. You don't have to be a good team to make the playoffs. I think this is one of the first years that every team that made the playoffs is legitimately good. But, you know, the difference between a 1 and an 8 seed in basketball is so far from, like, hockey. Hockey, a 1 and an 8 seed go 7 games all the time. You know, 8 seeds win titles in hockey. In basketball, not a chance. Not a chance in the world. So, you know, I mean, there's obviously exceptions to the rules, but, you know, I just get me to the second round. Let me see the real series. And even more, you know, the second round might be kind of boring. You know, the Warriors could sweep the Clippers. I would not put that out of the realm of possibility. The Spurs could beat the Thunder in five. The Cavs probably will sweep or take the Hawks to five. And then, obviously, the one series I said is interesting. So just get me to the conference finals. Let me see LeBron versus Spurs or LeBron versus Steph. And let me see LeBron average 35 points a game. Let me see Steph come back with 35 of his own. Dude, I just want this to be – oh, I want this month-long first round, this stupid, idiotic first round that takes a year and a half to finish to be over. I don't want to wait 6 days in between games and see players playing 35 minutes and can rest. I'm done with this first round already. It's been a joke. This is why the NBA needs to put – and this is when you think if the NBA goes to overall seeding one, plays a 16 seed, imagine how worse it would get, how much worse it would get, you know?
It'd be 3-4 months of basketball.
In the middle, and then you got a 2 versus a 15, a 1 versus 16. Those are going to be blowouts just like we've seen. You know, I wouldn't be opposed, and I know this is kind of crazy to, like, a lottery system, but then, you know, the regular season doesn't matter. So who knows, man?
Right.
Get me out of this. Get me out of this first round because I'm thinking crazy, stupid thoughts like that because it's driving me nuts. Get me to tomorrow where I get to see the Pistons play at the Palace, and let's get to the fun series because this has been atrocious.
Well, and speaking of crazy thoughts, I mean, I've been listening to the national media lately, and it's honestly like last night I heard, you know, or yesterday when I was, because I drive now for work. I don't just sit in a one place in an office and work now. I actually drive around similarly like to what you do. I actually drive around and deliver parts to places. And the one thing that I heard yesterday on the radio was that the NBA, you know, the first round has been so bad that they're thinking, why even have one round? I mean, not to fully eliminate the first round, but why is it now 7 games? And I understand, you know, back in the day, I definitely understood why it needed to be 7 games, but now it's like these 7 games, like you said, have turned into 2-3-week marathons to just kind of fill out some time and really just boost some money. When in reality, it's kind of hurting the league when you see some of these playoff games that are outrageously priced And fans don't want to go. If I'm a Spurs fan, I don't want to go to a game against Memphis. I don't want to waste my time going to that game. It's just that's kind of what it turns into, these teams that are in the bottom half, you know, especially the bottom two, bottom three teams in each conference. They're just barely good enough making the postseason. So like you said, from that perspective, maybe the NBA needs to change. But also, this is a different year in the NBA, and we all know that. This is a year in the NBA where, I mean, bottom teams are not the same bottom teams, and the top teams especially are not the same top teams as we've seen. These are historically great top teams, but you're right for the most part. And I'm looking at the schedule. I mean, the next game three for Portland and Clippers. Think about this. Yesterday was Wednesday. The next game three for Portland and L.A. for the Clippers, that is 7:30 p.m. Pacific time on Saturday. That is game three. That's ridiculous. And then the Cleveland and Charlotte series, or excuse me, the Miami Heat and Charlotte series is also going to be, game three is going to be on Saturday. And fortunately, there's some game fours on Saturday. But you're right. They're extending these series way too long. They don't need the rest that they need. Let's get these games, like baseball, in and out, in and out. Let's do one day and then every other day, or, you know, on a travel day, get them in and out. I mean, I'm not saying do back-to-backs in the NBA. That's not fair. But you don't need 2 days off. You don't need 2 days off now. That's what the break from the end of the regular season all the way until Saturday was for. Two solid days off for everybody. Sometimes even three for some teams for the Sunday games. So that's where you get your rest. You don't need to get those extra 2 days, like you've been saying. And I agree with you. Let's move on forward, pass the first round, and let's get it done. And right now, we're looking at the scores. I mean, at half, Oklahoma City's up 10 over Dallas. Who thinks that's going to be, you know, Dallas is going to come back in that one? I don't think so. They're at home. They have a chance. And Toronto's dominating over Indiana, 42-24. These are just completely unwatchable. And the national media has a point to gripe. This is the time of year where many basketball fans sit back and they just sit back and enjoy these matchups. And unfortunately, and I'm not one to disagree, it's tough. It's really tough. Last night I was with my girlfriend and we were watching the Cleveland. I told her this is the series to watch, is Cleveland and Detroit, especially after game one. And midway through the fourth, we're sitting there. I see Channing Frye hit a three from the outside, you know, one of their 23s last night, tying the record. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, you want to go get some Dairy Queen? You want to go hang out? Like, that's bad. And I'm a huge basketball fan, like diehard. I do a show. I've been 123 episodes, and I'm thinking about leaving and watching the video. That's how bad it's gotten, really. I mean, outside of a couple of games over the weekend, it's all of these games. Every single game has been darn near unwatchable, especially in the second half. I mean, it's just been bad. And like you said, moving on, we're going to get to the second round, and like we've said, we're going to cover the second round. Obviously, Calvin's got probably the Heat and Toronto Raptors in the second round. You've got the Cavs and whoever the four seed's going to be. Probably who would be the four seed? Oh, the Hawks.
Atlanta.
Cavs and Hawks. Yeah, you got those two teams. And then also I would have both the Western Conference. And I'm telling you, I don't want to just sound like a hype machine, but it's just the facts. This second round in the Western Conference is going to be crazy. And I've said that forever. I don't need to repeat myself. Let's get on to the last story before we get off the air. Scottie Brooks, I said it last night. I said it. I mentioned it. I said it was probably going to happen. And I'll give you the reason why they're doing this. And I think we all know the reason behind why they're doing this, especially if you're a savvy enough person to understand where. Scottie Brooks signed a 5-year, $35 million deal with the Washington Wizards. And you know what this kind of sounds like, Andrew? First of all, there's multiple perspectives from this, but for me, two things I want to get to about this before I let you say something, Andrew. But first of all, this is all we know, and this is what we know. This is a ploy to get Kevin Durant. There's no other explanation for this. This is a ploy to try and get Kevin Durant to join this team. But here's the problem with this circumstance and this attempt to try and get Kevin Durant. The problem with this ploy is that, first of all, if you get Kevin Durant, cool. All you now have is Oklahoma City from 2010 or 2009 up until last year, 2.0, because you have John Wall and Kevin Durant. Nothing's going to change. Bradley Beal's still not going to be able to stay on the court because he's always hurt. I think he's a free agent, too. A lot of these guys are free agents coming up for Washington. You're going to have a new team. It's going to be John Wall and Kevin Durant. I mean, it's going to be the same thing. It's not going to be anything special. It's not going to be anything different. And it's not even going to be that much better. Like, really, it's not even going to be that good. And then the thing is on top of that, if they don't get Kevin Durant, John Wall, the type of player John Wall is, I love John Wall. John Wall is awesome. But you have to see it from the perspective of Scotty Brooks with only one guy in John Wall. I mean, that's not going to work. And the way Scotty Brooks draws up offenses, how are you not going to expect John Wall to be frustrated by January of next season? This might be a David Blatt situation where within the halfway through the year, it might not work out. And they're going to be like, oh, you got to go, Scotty Brooks. I just have a feeling that's going to happen. What's your take, Andrew?
We're being completely honest. A team that hired Scott Brooks for any reason is probably dumb because he's not a good coach. He's an ISO only. He chokes in fourth. Coaches can choke in fourth quarters, and he does. He's one of those guys who chokes in the fourth quarter, doesn't know how to draw plays. He's so favorited to his superstar players that he forgets the rest. Same problem David Blatt had. And, you know, it's just kind of a silly hire in my mind. If it gets you Kevin Durant, greatest hire of all time. But I don't think Kevin Durant's going to go to Washington, D.C. because of Scotty Brooks.
No. Right.
So I guess we'll see. You got to remember, that team's going to be sitting at home till next year. So judging the hire at this point doesn't make sense. There's going to be a lot of roster moves. And if they do get Kevin Durant, good move. If not, goofy move, in my opinion. But I don't think it's a story at this point. I don't think – Tom Thibodeau is a story because it's such a young team with so much room to grow, and he's the president of basketball operations.
Right.
This is a coach hire. We don't know if it's going to work out because, all right, part of the ISO problem is Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant are ISO players. So yeah. It'll be, who knows? And he's been off for a while. He might have changed his scheme. He might have new plans. So it's a complete mystery at this point. I'm excited to see it because it's new and I like that kind of thing. That's what sports are all about. Like I said, if it gets you Kevin Durant, bravo. But, you know, I don't think it's much of a story.
I think the chance of getting Durant at this point, and it's so funny because obviously before the season, we had the perspective that, you know, the ploy for Washington was trying to bring Kevin Durant home. At this point, with especially the way the Wizards played this season, if the Wizards would have gotten to the postseason and at least won a couple of games or even gone to the second round, I think you can make the case that, all right, you know, hey, if KD goes there now, it's not a bad idea. But now considering, you know, they've fired Randy Whitman, they obviously don't think it's going in the right direction. John Wall got frustrated at the end of the year. Bradley Beal, as we've seen, is a great shooter. Great shooter. Guy can't stay on the court. And obviously, like you said, roster changes amongst. Why would Kevin Durant want to go there when he has a team in front of him in Oklahoma City where I understand he could go to somewhere better? Talks have been him going to potentially Golden State, which is nuts. I think that's a stupid idea. He won't go there. But I also think, you know, the idea of him going – and another dumb idea is him going to the Spurs. That's the thing. He ain't going to go to any of these great teams because that's just not how it's going to work. He's going to demand the money, and maybe he might even, like you've said on times, Andrew, or someone else has said, he might even just only sign a one-year, two-year tender like LeBron has and then wait till the ultimate mega money comes in a couple years from now and then sign a max deal. That might actually be the case. And so with that, this whole ploy for Washington to try and get KD now, maybe it's just really kind of a weird smokescreen because Kevin Durant might just only sign a one-year deal, two-year option with Oklahoma City, and then after that, then he'll sign his max deal for as long as he can, and then he'll really cash in at that point. But it's interesting to see, and it's just really fascinating to see this Washington team go from, you know, 2 years ago. Really, last year, a team that looked like they could potentially challenge. Now, would they have beaten the Cavs? No. But would they have challenged them and maybe won a couple of games and made it interesting? Sure. But they wouldn't have won. They wouldn't have gone to the Eastern Conference Final. But to see a team go from that to now just really in shambles from the standpoint of it's going to change, roster is going to change, a different coach, it is really a fascinating circumstance going on in Washington right now.
Yeah, and I know we're getting out of here in a minute, so I just want to say a few things. I have decided, and Chris, I haven't told you about this. I'm just telling you now, something that I decided to do a little bit earlier today that I think we can work on as a team, and I think it will be a very fun project to work on. For the YouTube, I am going to make a short documentary or opinion video at the same time on why – why you shouldn't hate LeBron for leaving Cleveland when he left.
That's a good one.
And I'm going to put a lot of work into it. I've done more and more. I've researched this for years, and it's really just an amazing, fascinating situation. You know, the amount of positives LeBron had to go to Miami and the amount of negatives he had to go to Miami were completely outweighed on the positive side. It's going to be a lot of fun to make, and I'm looking forward to making it. I'm hoping you'll help me with it. Kelvin can help us with it. And I'm really excited to make it because I think this video could be huge. I think a lot of people could see it. So that's something we're going to be working on. I'm also doing a question and answer with some writers and radio personalities around the country, including Jake Chapman. I'm hoping Terry Foster, Tony Jones for sure. And we're gonna post an article with it. It's going to be very fun to read. It's going to be very interesting. I'm writing up some questions. Then I'm going to do the interviews. So we're still in the process of doing that. New articles should be up soon. New videos should be up soon. Go check out Chris's whiteboard-worthy performance video. Go check out thehoopaslong.com. If you want to write a fly, it goes straight to my email. I will get it. We don't get a whole ton of applications, okay? So I see every application that comes in. Put your Twitter handle, put your email in there. I will be sure to at least give you an answer, yes or no. You will hear back from me. If you don't, you tweet at me, and I will be sure 100% to answer you. So go check it out, thehoopersvlog.com, under the Be a Writer tab. Other than that, Chris, before you take it away, as I say every time, thank you guys so much for listening. You really are the best. Our viewership, our listenership has grown substantially the past few months. The work we've been putting in has not gone unnoticed by you guys. We are so, so grateful. So, Chris, before you take it away, peace.
All right, there's Andrew for you. And we got about a minute left on the show. Episode 123 is in the books, and I agree with Andrew on that wholeheartedly. We've been at this since November of 20. We've been at this since November 2nd of 2016 or 2015. It's been so long, 123 episodes straight. Eventually, here in the next couple of, in fact, about a month from now, we'll skip to every other day, but I really do appreciate everybody who listens to our show. And anybody who ever has loved listening to the Hoopers Log or even CLNS Radio, I'm always appreciative and always grateful for that. Again, episode 123 is in the books. Episode 124 tomorrow on Friday, same time, same place, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Your host, Simo Buckets, will be in the building for that, and we will get it going. And we'll keep talking about these first-round duds. And hopefully there's more awards given out by the NBA so we can talk about something else. Thank you again for listening, everybody. Enjoy watching the basketball, and if not, just go outside and do something. Have a good one, everybody.